you, Americans, and your allies. Armed Forces Radio brings you a special rebroadcast with Victor Young and the orchestra, the Ken Darby Singers, John Nesbitt, and America's beloved baritone, John Charles Thomas.
Hello, dear friends. This is John Charles Thomas. Well, here we are again with another half hour of song, story, and music for you men and women in the armed forces of the United Nations. For story, we have John Nesbitt, one of America's best. For music, there's Victor Young and the orchestra. And for song, the Ken Darby Chorus and myself. And now, Vic, with the preliminaries over, let's get started. To raise the curtain on today's performance, I'm going to sing the lovely song, Because.
Because you'll come to me with naught save love and hold my hand and lift mine eyes above. A wider world of hope and joy I see. And sweet, I find the roses waking round my feet, and I am led through tears and joy to thee, because you speak to me.
Could happen to you, embellished with a bit of Rachmaninoff.
Thank you.
time for me to begin again. I have a song that's a favorite of good many of you, I'm sure. A brown bird singing.
All through the night, there's a little brown bird singing, singing in the hush of the darkness and the dew, singing in the hush of the darkness and the dew. Would that his song through the stillness could go winging, could go.
Now Victor Young is going to play his arrangement of George Gershwin's Swanee. Now then, Ken Darby and the men of the chorus have another girl on their minds today. This time, it's Nora. They're going to serenade her with Dearly Beloved.
No, no, Nora, nobody but you, dear. You know, Nora, yours truly is true, dear. And you excuse me of flirting. I couldn't, I love you so. I have chances too many to mention. Never give him a bit of attention. And would I praise you for Venus? No, no, Nora, no, no. And when the wedding bells ring out, you'll hear my happy heart sing out. Dearly beloved, how clearly I see somewhere in heaven you were fashioned for me. Angel eyes knew you. Angel voices led me to you. Nothing could save me. But you, dear, you know, Nora, that I stick like glue, dear. And would I trade you for Venus? No, 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 Nora, no, no.
For the past year, John Nesbitt has been parading past our microphones a procession of the great people of the world. Today, however, his chief character is not high up in the ladder of fame at all. And yet I prophesy that most of us know her very well. But that's a matter for
John Nesbitt. Now that hiring somebody to do your housework for you is just one of those dim memories of the past, we got to thinking that it was about time that the old hired girl was given a special citation in our passing parade. Maybe it's about time that somebody told her story, the story of the hired girl. And her name, you'll remember, was usually Nora or Bridget or Annie or Helga or Lizzie or even Katinka. From a San Francisco newspaper for the year 1910, I copied this want ad. Wanted, good, strong girl. Must be regular churchgoer. No visitors permitted. Cook, care of children, laundry and sewing, downstairs cleaning. Send photograph, birth certificate or immigration papers. Wages $8 per month and found. Now, if a hired girl came to the city to work, she got better wages. But behind her, she left the sunlight and the clean air and much of the dignity that she could know on a farm. And we didn't call Helga or Annie a hired girl in the city. We called her our parlor maid because it sounded fancier that way. Beat out the carpets with the big wicker swatter of the old broom, Lizzie. Shake the dirt out of the velvet drapes, Olga. Get up on the ladder and climb up and dust off the chandeliers, Bridget. And then after you've given the children their breakfast, take my husband's tray up to him. Boil the linen and hang out the wash, Nora, or else what are we paying you $15 a month for? Now there was one hired girl, and this piece is really dedicated to her in love and dear memory, who came straight off the boat to our old-fashioned house in Boston just before the last war. And she was the last of a long line of Lizzie's and Olga's and Bridget's, none of whom had been able to survive the fact that the four boys were in a kind of hero worship stage, our heroes being the Cats and Jammer kids in the funny papers. So we considered that a giant firecracker tossed under the maid's bed was always good for a laugh, and from time to time we little angels would lug home a large snapping turtle from the public reservoir, and just for safekeeping, you understand, we would put it into the maid's bed. All of that, I wish to report, however,
was before the entry into our lives of a Swedish girl whose name was Effie. Effie was tall and clean and blue-eyed, and she had a mouthful of gold teeth of which she was very proud, and she had a ringing, hearty laugh that would start the dishes shaking on the table, and she had an irresistible joy of life that filled the old-fashioned house like music. Effie arrived on a blistering hot day one August, and by afternoon she was already hard at work, hosing down the back porch to cool off the kitchen. And so this seemed a suitable occasion for us to install over the slightly ajar screen door one bucket of water, which was scheduled, when Effie came back in and opened the door, to deposit 3 gallons of water upon her head. We considered this a very neat engineering job and a suitable initiation into our home for Effie. Just as we were completing this installation, however, there was a roar of laughter behind us, and we realized that Effie herself had arrived with the running hose still in her hand. "Holy mucky," I said, "my brother, we've been ambushed." And thereupon a water fight raged over the back porch that made history. We made a mass frontal attack at one point in the battle in an attempt to get the hose away from Effie, which resulted in the hoses exploding midway and drenching all of us to the skin. But 30 minutes later, helpless with laughter and still very wet, we formed a committee of appeal to our parents to keep Effie from being told to pack her box and leave at once. Effie had the stuff, you see. Effie was a champion in her own right, and there was no more monkey business. Within a week, she had us fighting among ourselves over the privilege of helping her wipe the dishes. And we were such reformed characters that the only relapse into our old evil ways that I can recall occurred on the occasion in which we stole the shoes of her policeman friend, a gentleman who used to drop into the kitchen after supper and slip his brogans off under the table while eating Effie's apple cake and smorgasbord. 809 plates of apple cake later, Effie married the policeman, and she now lives in Boston with 3 fine sons in the Navy. She was only a hired girl, and yet her laughter rang through the sunlit years of our childhood. And with the dignity of honest work, she could turn the humble kitchen into the studio of an artist. So hail and farewell, Effie. The hired girl, Nellie, or Annie, or Helga, or Effie, has with this war begun to disappear, perhaps forever. And we wish her happiness, because her life was seldom a very happy one. And in her place, the tireless electrical servants do await us all tomorrow. So it's a fair exchange. A new standard of luxury for us, and a chance for the family drudge, the hired girl, to raise her head from the laundry tubs now and then and take a good look at the sky.
Thank you, John Nesbitt. And now I'd like to sing you a lovely old traditional Scottish ballad, the words of which were written by the poet Bobby Burns. Ye banks and braes o' Bonnie Doon.
Ye banks and braes o' Bonnie Doon, how can ye bloom sae fresh and fair? How can ye chant, ye little bird, and I sae weary for care? Ye'll break my heart, ye warbling bird, that wanton through the flood. Entwine And ilka bird sang, oh, it's love, and fondly said it, I, oh, mine. We light some heart, I put a rose, whose sweet a hornet,
Victor Young has invited some of the leading composers in the motion picture industry to write some special music. Victor has assigned very well-known simple themes to them, which they will develop with variations, a sort of challenge to see what they can do with these simple melodies for a large symphonic orchestra. They will be heard from time to time on this program as the composers complete them. When we heard what Vic was up to, we decided that he should lead off. Vic himself is one of the top composers in the motion picture industry, as witness his musical score of For Whom the Bell Tolls. So here are his variations on the Arkansas Traveler. Giving the boys something to shoot at. Now, I won't tell you when, but I will tell you that I originated the baritone role in the operetta Apple Blossoms. Chorus and I are going to sing two selections from that play now. You Are Free and I Love the Girls, Girls, Girls.
Just a game that two are playing. Love is nothing but a game of chance. For the one who chooses very often loses. roses. Love is never sure to be romance. Danger always lurks in Cupid's arrows. Love is only luck. You take a chance. If you're thinking of some other boy to love, you may always know that you are free. Just the same, and being wet and not kill the flame, there is the same old charm in flirtation with a maid. Half afraid, and when she looks at me with a smile, I know it's girls make life worth the while. So I must leave you, forget you, but love you. So, dearest girl, go out.
He loves the girls, just the same. And being wet cannot kill the flame. There is the same old charm in the nation with the maid, half afraid.
And when she looks at me with a smile, I know it's girls make life worth the while. So I must leave you, forget you, but love you. So, dearest girl, go on.
This is the Armed Forces Radio Service.